Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew. I am, of course, William Amo. What's up, Mac? Glad to have you on the show as always, bro.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me as usual, man. Glad to be on.
And ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for tuning in and checking out this episode. On this episode, you know, we're going to be talking about the playoffs. We're going to be talking about the New York Knicks, you know, our experience going to game one of the, you know, NBA, round one of the NBA playoffs between the Knicks and the 76ers. We'll give you our recap for these first three games, our really honest opinions, as always, what we think about the series. Basically, our predictions for game four and, you know, the rest of the series. That is, you know, at least going to go five games for sure. We'll definitely go into that. We'll talk about, you know, the NFL draft for the Giants and the Jets. We'll also talk about the current state of, you know, the baseball teams in New York. Pete Alonso hitting his 200th career home run, which makes him the fourth fastest, you know, in history to reach that milestone, and also the fourth Met to do that record as well. We'll also talk about what's going on in the world of professional wrestling. Swerve Strickland finally winning the heavyweight title for AEW, becoming the first black wrestler to win the title. You know, also, we'll also talk about the current state of WWE with Chad Gable turning heel, and of course the draft as well. But you know, most importantly, you know, we'd love to hear from you, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to share your thoughts on any of these topics, you know, and more, whether you agree, disagree with us, you're indifferent, you don't care, you know, just, you know, call in and, you know, let your voice be heard. You know, we'd love to hear from you. And with that said, if you want to let your voice be heard, the number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So again, feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. We'd love to hear from you. But with that said, yeah, Mac. Yeah, what was your thoughts before we dive headfirst into game three? What was your experience going to? I mean, this whole entire series, but your personal experience going to, you know, the MSG for game one, you know.
Oh man. Wow, game one, the Garden was rocking, man. Fans were loud, and they were so excited for this game one, pumped up. It was the loudest that I've heard it, other than the following game two, mm-hmm. when we had that crazy ending. It was a great experience going there to game one last Saturday,
right.
And watching that game, watching the Knicks win that game against the Sixers. I mean, it was up and down game for the most part,
mm-hmm.
but then we started to pull away in the second half a bit. Embiid, you know, got injured. He re-injured that knee of his, and we played some good defense in that game. So it was a hard-fought game, and we ended up winning the game. But yeah, that game was great, and it was just great to be there. You know, in the Garden, you know, for that first game, and you had some of the fans that were a little bit obnoxious, especially in our section where we were sitting. That's the only negative, but other than that, man, it was great.
Yeah, it was hectic. You know, it was a great atmosphere, awesome atmosphere seeing the Knicks. You know, beat the, you know, the 76ers in game one. It was a tough, a hard fought game, you know. You know, the Knicks, they, at one point they were trailing by like, I think 13 points or so. But they were able to bounce back and, you know, Harden, McBride was able to knock down some big buckets to help us pull away for the one the 111-104 victory. Yeah, literally one week ago today.
McBride was definitely the X factor in that first game.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he scored 21 points. Hart scored 22. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Anunoby, I think, knocked down some key threes towards the end also.
Yeah.
Brunson had 22 points, but he was struggling. 22 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists. You know, he was struggling at that point. Bogdanovich, you know, these past couple of days, he's been knocking down some key threes.
Bogdanovich had played a good game one as well.
Yeah, and Mitchell Robinson was playing some great D Embiid. He had eight points and 12 rebounds in game one. And of course, Embiid had 29 points, eight rebounds, 6 assists, and he had a monster dunk, I think, in the second quarter. But it was so explosive that when he dunked, you know, he fell down. He had to be taken out of the game briefly. When it happened so quickly, you know, after he dunked, I was eating my food and I looked down and I see someone on the floor. I'm like, did he knock one of his teammates down? And you're like, no, man, that's him. Because we were, like, all the way up in the seats, you know. So, it was surprising. Like, he had, like, this ferocious dunk. But when he landed down, he landed badly on his knee, on his leg, and he fell down. And, you know, he was out for, like, maybe 10 minutes or so. But then he came back. And then little did we know, he was diagnosed with Bell's palsy, but we didn't know that at the time. We won that game 101-104, literally 1 week from today. And then game two, we won a very close game, 104-101. That was also in the Garden. Embiid scored 34 points, had 10 rebounds, 6 assists. But the story was, the Knicks, playing better in this game. Brunson had 24 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. Hart had 21 points with 15 rebounds. Anunoby had 10 points. Hartenstein had 14 and 8. But the big shot was DiVincenzo when he knocked down that possession where Brunson hit a three. And then, there was some plays afterwards where they could easily call the foul, on the behalf of Maxey, who scored 35 points, 10 assists, and 9 rebounds. Almost had a triple-double there. But they didn't make any calls.
Crazy sequence.
Yeah. And then DiVincenzo, I think Hartenstein got the rebound, kicked it out to DiVincenzo. Anunoby missed that shot, I think. And then
Hartenstein got it, passed it to Anunoby out of a double team, and then Anunoby kicked it out to DiVincenzo.
He misses the first three-pointer, gets it back, then he shoots the three with 13 seconds left. A shot so, impactful and historic, the LJ four-point play against the Pacers in 99, that Mike Breen, used the very rarefied bang, bang, double bang, call. Because DiVincenzo had ice water in his veins, man. He was like Bobby Drake from the X-Men. He was the Iceman Cometh, man. He had no fear, man. And one of the announcers said, I can't remember who said it, they were saying, like, it takes a lot of poise for, a guy to miss the shot and then, you know, for him to have that confidence to take that shot again, you know, not, you know, and just forget that he missed a what would have been a big shot.
Shooter's gonna shoot, you know.
Yeah, he had that shooter's mentality. He, you know, he was like Bret Hart. He hit the sharpshooter on them,
yeah,
and bang,
yeah.
He hit. You know, so, you know, props to him. And then we were able to hold on to the victory 104-101. So then the Knicks got up to a 2-0 lead. And then after the game, you know, you could see Embiid's body language was, you know, wasn't looking good because, you know, his head was down and, you know, obviously he was blinking, you know, his eye, you know, but, you know, he was saying that the 76ers should have been up 2-0 instead of losing 2-0, and that he guarantees that the 76ers is going to win the series. So, you know, coming off that game, it was like, you know, he's making a Joe Namath Super Bowl III and a Mark Messier, 94 Stanley Cup guarantee on the behalf of, you know, the 76ers. And, you know, when you're making a guarantee like that, you know, you're putting your legacy on the line. Because if you don't live up to the guarantee, you know, like Messier and Namath did, it's gonna haunt you, you know, kind of like, you know, unfortunately Patrick Ewing, you know, on the 90s Knicks teams, you know, it wasn't his fault, you know, but unfortunately he never had that, you know, dominant team to win. I mean, he's had some teams that were close at the cusp of winning a championship, you know, most notably the 94 team and the 99 team when he got hurt. But yeah, especially the 94 team, which was, you know, literally one win away from winning, you know, a championship. But, you know, unfortunately Houston had other plans, winning game 6 and game 7 right after the, you know, the OJ, chase where the Knicks, where ironically the Knicks had their last win of that NBA finals. And then they end up losing game 6 and 7 in Houston. But yeah, it was, So then fast forward to game 3 down in the city where there was no brotherly love shown by Joel Embiid and his, 76ers. And, you know, basically, man, he must have got his tactics from Ric Flair, because Joel Embiid looked like he was the dirtiest player in the game. And Joel Embiid looked like he turned heel, kind of like when Garnett, you know, went to the Celtics. And, you know, he was on that quest for the championship. You know, all those guys, you know, both of those guys, you know, known for their way how they play the game hard and well, but it's like, you know, these guys are veterans, and it's like, you know, the pressure is getting to him, and he just went full heel mode. And I mean, no pun intended, he went straight for Mitchell Robinson's heel when he was trying to dunk a ball. He grabbed his foot, and then prior to that, he was like, he kneed and like sucker punched Hartenstein in the stomach. Man, it was like, you know, the Knicks, the two Knicks wins were basically Hartenstein started the game, Embiid just mauls and destroys him, gets two quick fouls in the first quarter, then he brings in Mitchell Robinson, which Mitchell Robinson, you know, kind of holds him in check a bit. And then, you know, the Knicks end up winning those games. But, you know, Embiid flipped the script. He took out Mitchell Robinson's, heel, which basically he re-injured his leg where he had the surgically, you know, had the surgery on, and he was gone for the rest of the second half. He never showed up the rest of the second half, and then as a result, Embiid, you know, he just destroyed the Knicks. You know, he ended up scoring a career high 50 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. Maxey, you know, Maxey was phenomenal, 25 points, 7 assists. But yeah, man, it was just a horrible sight to see, man. Brunson did bounce back. He finally got his best scoring performance, 39 points, 13 assists. Josh Hart had 20. Ananobi had 17. But yeah, man, it was just a brutal game, man. And before I let you talk, you share your thoughts on game 3. Do you think Joel Embiid is a dirty player, or, I mean, what's your opinion? What's your whole thoughts on game 3?
Well, game 3 was definitely a bit disappointing. That was a very dirty play by Joel Embiid. Should have been ejected for that play on Robinson. You know, could have put him out for the season. You know, the guys is going off the rebound and you pull him out midair and you end up pulling him down. That should have been a flagrant too, instead of a flagrant on. So, but it looks like the NBA, they're not going to suspend for it.
Shocker.
Even though he should be suspended. But, yeah, I mean, after that, Embiid clearly took advantage of Robinson going out for the rest of the second half because he took advantage. I mean, Hartenstein is a good player, but he can't guard Embiid. Mm. No one else can guard Embiid on that team. Robinson keeps him in check a little bit, you know. So Robinson not being in the second half, you could see that Embiid took advantage of that, and then he went off and went to the free throw line a lot. I mean, the refs were just calling every little foul that we committed against Embiid, they were calling it and sending him to the free throw line. So that didn't help either. And, our defense was very bad in that game 3. That was one of the worst defenses we played all year. And we were giving three-pointers left and right in the third quarter. I mean, it seemed like the Sixers couldn't miss at one point. Mm-hmm. So we also didn't play very good defense. So we didn't help ourselves either. You know, we had a good offensive game when you look at it. Mm-hmm. Offensively, we scored a lot of points to win the game. It's just our defense was trash. Mm-hmm. So we need to do a better job in this game 4 tomorrow afternoon. And let's hope Robinson is able to come back. Game 4 help us because we definitely need him. But, yeah, Robinson, he is a bit injury prone. That's one thing I see. Going forward, you know, we might have to look into maybe getting a big man that actually can stay healthy a bit and help us in the paint. You know, Robinson, defensively, he's good. You know, he plays good defense and he rebounds, gets his offensive rebounds, but you kind of question, like, you know, Sixers have a guy like Embiid who can score at will, go to free throw line and play some defense. Maybe we might have to go that route in the near future, you know? I always said that we need a big man to help us out, like call Anthony Towns or someone else. We might have to look into that, you know, going forward here.
So you're saying that Embiid was scoring at will, right?
Yeah, man. He was having his way, and he was going in the free throw line, you know, a lot. The guy goes 50 points.
Yeah,
shooting three-pointers as well. I mean, it seemed at one point he couldn't have missed a three-pointer in the second half. I mean, this guy was shooting everything. This guy also has a bad knee as well. That he has Bell's palsy that he revealed that he was diagnosed with. I mean, yeah, he was just eating us alive, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, I totally agree with you. He was scoring at will, but the thing I was wondering is, like, why is he scoring on me for? I'm not playing on the Knicks. But seriously, man, yeah, he was unstoppable, man.
Yeah.
He was totally unstoppable. That's why today's episode is called Brunson versus Goliath Embiid. Swerve Strickland finally becomes AEW champion. But yeah, he was like Goliath, man. It was crazy. We just need to, you know, Brunson just got to pull out a slingshot, you know, tomorrow and hopefully game five to put this giant out of his misery.
Yeah, we just need to play better defense. Just look to play better defense, and we cannot play like that again in game four.
Mm-hmm. We can't. He was scary, man. And they just let him do whatever he wanted to us, you know. They didn't want to. I know they're in Philadelphia and he got the hometown discount, but like this is ridiculous. Like this dude got more free throws than we did. The whole Knick team. Like it's ridiculous. It's crazy. Unbelievable. This guy should have been ejected out of the game. This 50-point game should have never happened. But no, the NBA, you know, they always want to look, they have their favorites. You know, they want their guys, they want their star players that they want to advance and go to the finals and have their, you know, magical, you know, dream matchups that they want to see. And it never involves the Knicks. You know, they just want to use the Knicks as a punching bag. And these referees, man, it's just.
Well, in fairness, you know, the first two games we have, we won. A lot of Sixers fans were saying the same thing about us.
Yeah.
A lot of Sixers fans, we were getting a lot of calls that they were getting.
And
the NBA was favoring us.
And people were getting a lot of calls, too, in those games, too. But they whatchamacallit, we found a way to beat them, you know.
Yeah,
we're able to pull away.
Yeah, that game too. There's a lot of people were saying that there was a foul on Embiid, on Maxi.
Yeah,
and a lot of the refs didn't call it. And you had a lot of Sixers fans complaining about that. I mean, whether or not it was a foul or not, the Sixers just got out hustled by the Knicks. Just played tougher in the end there, and they fought harder than the Sixers to win that game. So, maybe Maxi did get fouled there, but, you know, it's just out-hustled them, plain and simple.
They did.
And they won, won that game. Yeah.
I'm surprised Maxi didn't get a call there, during those sequences, because those first two games, like, Embiid, man, Embiid was doing his best Shaq impression, except he was knocking down free throws. Like, he was just getting called fouls all over. And then.
Well, that's gonna continue to happen. I mean, with Embiid, I mean that's pretty much his MO. You know, he's gonna get foul calls against us because we don't even have anyone to guard him. Hartenstein is just gonna foul. He's not gonna be able to guard him. I mean, the only guy that can do a fair job against is Robinson, right? And that's why we need Robinson to come back to help us win. Because if we don't have him, then he's gonna continue to eat us alive, unfortunately.
Or we can do is go down to TNT and sign Shaq for the rest of this series.
Yeah,
and
good luck with that.
Meet
Shaq
him.
Is gonna want to play. Yeah.
Yeah, but he never want to play for us. So he probably would sign with the He probably would sign with Celtics again.
Sure, yeah, I don't know about that. We'll see.
Or I should say maybe 76ers this time. Who knows?
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens, man. They got to send a message. Game four. Show them that they're not gonna be like the Mets and like these teams just whoop their behind and then not do anything. No retaliation. Afterwards, they gotta send these guys a message. You know, they can't be pushing us around, man. We gotta get that 90s Knicks, aren't mystique in us, man. And not let these people think they could just boss us around, man. The 90s Knicks, man. We gotta go back to the basics, man. This team cannot. I mean, they go overboard, man. If you want to talk about the bad boys. But these guys, I mean, Embiid's going bad boys mode. Like we gotta stop him, man. And then he was taunting Brunson at toward the end of the game too. You remember that?
He was taunting Brunson? I didn't see that.
You didn't see that? Like when Brunson was Brunson got fouled, and then Embiid was like taunting him like, "Ooh, I'm scared," kind of thing, and then Brunson kind of did it back to him too, you know, before he shot a free throw, and then there was another point in the game when someone's gonna pass him the ball so he can make a free throw, and he did like this DX crotch chop, but minus his hands. It's like he rebounded the ball with his I don't even know how to describe it. Like it was like he was doing the DX sign, but minus with the arms crossing. It was like he did a no hands DX sign. If that even makes sense. But in any case, we just got dominated by Embiid, and we got to send them a message tomorrow that you know you're not gonna tie the series up, man. We gotta stop these guys, because if we don't, I think Embiid's gonna have a strong chance of coming back and winning in six. If we don't get to a 3-1 lead, winning game four, and they tie the series, man, it's not gonna look good for us, man. We have to win this game tomorrow night. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Mitchell Robinson is questionable for tomorrow's game.
I know, we gotta find a way. We gotta find a way to stop Embiid. Embiid gotta be stopped. Embiid has to be stopped. I don't know how we're gonna do it, but we're gonna have to stop him. Because what he did in game three, I mean, he scored 50 points. I mean, you know, that's, you know, he's that talented, but the antics the dirty stuff he was doing in on the court, I mean, that's beneath him. You know, I was surprised how low he went. And I'm not even talking, he practically low blow Robinson, man. Like he chop blocked him, you know, from being like, I mean, that was unacceptable. Unacceptable. So, you know, the Knicks, they got to come back, man. If we're gonna have to get some Rangers to play, you know, we gotta find a way to come back here. That's unacceptable. And you know, shifting gears, the Rangers, they won recently, 3-1. Against the Capitals. They have a 3-0 lead on the Caps right now as we speak. Shesterkin had 28 saves. You know, there was goals by Kreider, Goodrow, and Trocheck for the victory. And, you know, they got a
so you have a chance to sweep now.
Yeah, they do. So hopefully they can.
Power Rangers.
Yeah, man. Hopefully they can bring out the broom, because they're gonna face the Washington again tomorrow night in Washington to hopefully bring the brooms to Washington and finish off the Capitals. So. You know, good luck with the Rangers. Hopefully they could finish them off tomorrow night. So let's go Rangers. And then you know, hey, let's take a brief break, and then we'll talk a little for the NFL draft and baseball afterwards. You know, you're listening to Sports Urban Legend with your hosts William Rameau and Macaulay Matthew, and we'll be right back after this break.
We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks.
They go New York, go New York, go.
Go New York, go New York, go.
They go New York, go New York, go.
Go New York, go New York, go.
Well, just like that, look who's back in the mix. Straight out of New York City, it's the Red Hot Knicks. And nothing's gonna stop us from hanging a banner. Not the Hawks, Heat, or even Indiana. It's the Knicks, back on pace, back in the chase. That's right, the 8th seed in the thick of the race. And while you try and react to the shots we be blocking, check out the team that keeps the garden rocking. Free, hitting threes, playing D. Houston launching jumps from the top of the key. And Ward, Lewis, Child, and Larry. Thomas, Big Chris, and Marcus can be. Nobody does it like the Knicks can. Go get your best five guys. In fact, grab the six man. The three well and the Knicks excel. Look out, the number 18 is starting to gel.
Go New York, go New York, go.
And Indiana, they're gonna end up with the Hawks and the Heat while the Knicks sweep them with the broom. See, our season don't end till the middle of June. Don't ever count out the Knicks team, cause in a blink, your squad's down 16. So if you think you can beat up, you're just a dreamer. The Knicks, we don't lose in our home arena.
They go New York, go New York, go.
Go New York, go New York, go.
They go New York, go New York, go.
Go New York, go New York, go.
Hey, what's up? Welcome back to Sports Urban Legend. I am again William Rameau, and on the other line is, of course, Macaulay Matthew. And, let's shift gears and talk the NFL draft. The Jets, they made 7 picks in the draft, a couple of trades, 7 to be exact. Yeah, their first round pick, they drafted Olu Fashanu. He's a what was I gonna say? Yeah, he's there to the OT. He's gonna improve the tackle situation, helping out Rodgers. That's a good move for them with the 11th pick. And also they also drafted Malachi Corley, not to be confused with McCorley Matthew, a wide receiver. Also they drafted a running back, Braylon Allen, and a pick I'd say the most intriguing pick that they drafted that they did in the draft was drafting a quarterback from Florida State University. His name is Jordan Travis, and this guy, he looks like he's a double threat, running and passing. He was a Heisman Trophy candidate, threw for 2,756 yards for 20 touchdowns, only had 2 interceptions. He rushed for 176 yards for 7 touchdowns. And, unfortunately for him, he got injured and, he got hurt and, he injured his leg and was gone for the rest of the year. So, a good move for him. He'll be backing up Rodgers and Tyrod Taylor, the former Giant. And yeah, I think this is a good move for the Jets. Have a lot of potential. A guy that they can use. After finally trading away, Zach Wilson to the Broncos. So I think that's a, you know, a intriguing pick. Other picks they did was drafting a running back, Isaiah Davis. They also got a cornerback, Tez Stiggers. And they also drafted Jalen Kay, safety. So, yeah, all in all, they have some good picks with some potential. Yeah, what's your thoughts on their picks and, of course, yeah, the Big Blue's picks, drafting neighbors?
I thought the Jets had a pretty good draft. You know, they got a backup quarterback for Aaron Rodgers. And that was a good move after parting ways with Zach Wilson. And they added more offensive depth. You know, they added, like you said, my cousin, Malachi Corley, Braylon Allen, Isaiah Davis, running back. Yeah, they added some good pieces. I think they should have improved their defense, though. You know, their defense wasn't that bad last year. I think their defense was their strength last year, but I thought they would add a little bit more pieces to their defense, but, you know, still some room for improvement there. But I thought the Jets had a good three days of draft picks. As far as the Giants, I thought the Giants did very good. The Giants got a good wide receiver in Malik Nabers. He's going to be a weapon for Daniel Jones, so that's going to be good for us. I thought they added some defense pieces as well. That's going to be crucial for this team. Andrew Phillips at cornerback, Tyler Newbin at safety from Minnesota. I also like Tyrone Tracy from Purdue at running back. I think he could be a good replacement for Barkley, who's now in Philly. So I think the Giants did very good for themselves. You know, they even improved the defense as well. Cornerback, safety, and a linebacker as well. So, but both teams have done good these past 3 days. So we'll see what other moves that they have in store.
Yeah, I agree with you. We'll see what the teams will do, in the season when the regular season starts in the fall. But shifting gears, there's let's see what else. Let's talk. Let's shift gears to baseball. Congratulations to Pete Alonso hitting his 200th career home run against the Cardinals on this afternoon. He did it against Sonny Gray in the fifth inning. And that was his 200th. Again, that was his 200th career home run. He was the fourth player in history to do it as quickly, to do it that quickly. In addition, he was the fourth Met all-time 200 home runs as a Met. Do you want to pick who the three are?
To hit 200 home runs as a Met, David Wright.
That's right. He's number two at 242.
Who else? Maybe Piazza.
Piazza is number three with 220 home runs as a Met. Who's the all-time Met home run leader?
Strawberry?
You got it, 252.
Yeah.
So, congrats to him. And, Strawberry is on the record to saying that he wants Alonso to break all his records. And, as a result, Alonso said that Darryl's one of those iconic guys. When you think of the Mets organization, you think of Straw, not just for what he did in 86, but his entire career here. It means a lot for him. It means a lot for him to say that. And, you know, props to him. You know, unfortunately, the Mets did not get the victory. They lost by the final score of 6-4, or I should say 7-4, if I'm certainly right. And, yeah, there was a questionable play. Lindor, you know, got on base on a check swing strikeout, which the ball, you know, was an error. He got on base on the error, but then the umpires called him out, saying that he was trying to advance to, you know, second base. When if you watch the replay, he clearly wasn't. They threw him out, and that killed any potential late inning rally that the Mets was trying to do. And the Mets end up getting the bases loaded. In the later on in the game, Mets, you know, got the bases loaded, but yeah, they didn't do anything, and basically that was the end of the ball game. The only highlight of the game was Pete Alonso's 200th home run, and this was the first ever game the Mets wore their new City Connect uniform. I mean, to me it looked cool, but, you know, it looked too much like the Colorado Rockies uniform. I mean, to me, Todd Helton must be rolling his sofa watching the Mets wear a uniform that looks so similar to the Colorado Rockies, man. What was your thoughts? You know,
so? Yeah, I was a bit surprised by those colors that they chose. Not the best uniforms that they've ever worn.
Yeah, I mean, I think they look nice. You know, they wanted to kind of like the Brooklyn Nets when they moved to New York to Brooklyn. They you know, the Mets wanted to adapt their colors to the subway station and have a New York vibe. You know, channeling the subway station and, you know, the colors and the MTA vibe and all that stuff. So that was their thought process on.
Oh, so you like these uniforms then?
Yeah, I thought it looked nice, but I mean, it reminds me of the Colorado Rockies uniform, you know. But yeah, all in all, you know, congratulations to Pete Alonso. But unfortunately, at the end of the day, the Mets roller coaster season continues. They started off 0-5, then they won 12 of their last 15 games, and then now they lost 5 of their last 6. So, what can I say? I mean, this has been a rocky season. What was I going to say? Martinez made his Met debut on Friday night, got his first hit, a single, then he had an RBI double in the game on Friday night. The Mets, they gotta get their act together and avoid another sweep by the Cardinals. You know, a team that they have a lot of history with, going back to the 80s. So, and even more recently, you know, in the 06 play in LCS. And then, you know, of course, the Mets, January 1st, 2012, they threw their first no-hitter against the Cardinals, which was Carlos Beltran's first game back at Citi Field against the Mets that game. We'll see what happens with, you know, if the Mets can, you know, bounce back, win this game tomorrow, and hopefully go on a winning streak. But, you know, we'll see what happens. But shifting gears, the Yankees, they won today. Four Yankees hit a home run. Verdugo hit a home run. Stanton hit a home run. I'm trying to remember who else hit a home run.
Rizzo.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember who the fourth person was. Did I say Stanton, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Verdugo's blast was the key one.
Mm-hmm.
He had a 3-run home run in the cleanup spot. Boone put him there because, you know, we've had some struggles with Judge and Rizzo, especially Judge. Judge has looked lost to start the season. And, you know, hopefully this lineup change will get him going a bit. Did have the 2-run home run today. So hoping that this offense can get going. It's been the offense has been a bit inconsistent this year so far. Aside from Juan Soto, who's been killing it for us, you know, so these other guys have been struggling a little bit. Pitching has been very good this year for us so far. And, yeah, today we end up stomping on the Brewers. 15, I think the score was 15-4, I believe. Score was 15-3, the score was. So,
yeah, 15-3.
One today, the Brewers beat us last night. So the rubber game will be tomorrow. So hopefully you can win that. You know, the last couple weeks we've been pretty much playing 500 ball. So we got to get back to how we were playing in the beginning of the season, you know, win these series and play a bit better offensively. And today was a good start. So I think this lineup change will definitely help.
Props to the Yankees winning the game. You know, they held on to the lead the whole entire game with that blowout. The Yankees are, you know, keeping their winning ways.
Yeah, but still got to play better. Still some things that we have to do better.
Mm-hmm. Winning the game 15-3 and hitting 4 home runs, like you said, highlighted by the Verdugo 3-run blast in the first, is a great start.
Oh, yeah.
But, shifting gears to wrestling, congratulations to Swerve Strickland and, you know, winning, you know, the AEW championship. Becoming the eighth man to win the AEW heavyweight championship, but more importantly, he became the first black man to win the AEW title, defeating Samoa Joe in the main event. Let's go into the result of what happened. Trent Beretta defeated Matt Sydal, formerly known as Evan Bourne when he was in WWE a decade ago. Well, time has flied. He hasn't been in WWE that long. What was I gonna say? Katsuyori Shibata and Orange Cassidy defeated Shane Taylor and Lee Moriarty in a tag team match. Bullet Club Gold, Jay White, Austin, and Colton Gunn, Billy Gunn's sons, they defeated the Acclaim, which has Anthony Bowens, Max Caster, and, of course, the aforementioned Billy Gunn. In a unification match, which, you know, means the Bullet Club Gold unified are now the AEW and ROH champions. So congrats to them. Kazuchika Okada defeated Pac, formerly known as Neville in WWE, for the AEW Continental Championship. House of Black, Malakai Black, Brody King, and Buddy Matthews defeat Adam Copeland, of course, formerly known as Edge, Eddie Kingston and Mark Briscoe in a trios match. Willow Nightingale defeated Julia Hart for the AEW TBS Championship. So congratulations to her, becoming the second black woman to win the title after Jade Cargill. Roderick Strong defeated yes, I am correct. She is the second, because I wanted to make sure if Amber Moon, after she changed her name, she won the TBS title, but no, she has not. So yeah, I was right. But yeah, getting back to what I said, yeah, Willow Nightingale, she defeated Julia Hart to become the AEW TBS champion. Roderick Strong defeated Kyle O'Reilly, his former Undisputed Era in NXT, you know, member, for the to retain the AEW International Championship. I mean, this is kind of confusing. You got the AEW Continental Championship and you got the AEW International Championship. I mean, they were trying so hard not to say Intercontinental. Is that two different titles?
Weird.
It's like Intercontinental. You got AEW Continental Championship and you got AEW International Championship. Then you got Jericho defeating Hook, Taz's son, in a FTW rules match. They become the new FTW champion. Timeless Toni Storm retains the title and defeats Thunder Rosa to retain the AEW Women's World Championship. Will Ospreay defeated Bryan Danielson in a singles match. The Young Bucks, with the help of Jack Perry returning after 8 months hiatus, you know, due to the controversy with CM Punk, he helps his friends, you know, defeat the FTR, which of course is Dax Harwood and Cash Wheeler, in the tournament final ladder match for the vacant AEW World Tag Team Championship. And Swerve Strickland defeated Samoa Joe, you know, to become the AEW, the new AEW World Championship. So, yeah, what's your thoughts on Swerve Strickland winning the title?
I actually saw some of that. I saw him do it the title tonight. I was watching some of the AEW when I tuned in. I think it's good for the AEW. You know, he has that swag, and, you know, to have an African-American guy hold the title right now is good for that company. And I think it's a good thing. You know, we'll see how he does. But he definitely has the charisma and the presence right now to hold that title. See whichever run he goes on.
Yeah, you know, congratulations to him. You know, he formerly was in Swerve Scott, Isaiah Swerve Scott to be exact, and then he had that group with B-Fab and I'm trying to remember the name of that group that they were part of in NXT, and then when they moved up to WWE, when they moved up to, you know, SmackDown, I think it was Raw, I think it was SmackDown. Then he was out of the group. I'm trying to remember the name of the group that he was in. What's in that group? Before he went to WWE, what's in that group? I can't remember the name of that group. I gotta look for it. What's in that group? It had Top Dollar. It had what was it? Shante the Adonis.
The Hit Row?
Oh, yeah, Hit Row. Yeah, Hit Row. There you go. I couldn't remember the name of that group. But yeah, when they made their debut in WWE, what was it, 3 years ago? He popped up for that one day, and afterwards he got released. And then afterwards, Hit Row was like a three-person group, and then they eventually released those guys, and then B-Fab is currently in the Pride with Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits. Congrats to him. Swerve Strickland, you know, hard work paid off. Working at NXT, bouncing around other places, and finally, betting on himself and cashing in. In his celebration speech that he made right after, in the press conference right after his win, his historic win, he was saying that, he was offered different opportunities, like with the AEW, I think, international title or maybe the AEW Continental Championship, but, he wouldn't settle for less. He said he was inspired by Kofi Kingston, and his Kofi Mania run to, win the title. So, he was determined to be the first black man to win the AEW championship. So, props to him. He had another opportunity, like, I think 2 months ago against, I think Hangman Adam Page, and I think it was Samoa Joe also. But, he was able to win that time. But at AEW Dynasty, he was finally able to win it. So, congrats to him.
Yeah, congrats.
But, yeah. The controversy on AEW Dynamite this Wednesday was basically Jack Perry and the Young Bucks, they cut a promo in the ring, and Jack Perry, formerly known as Jungle Boy, he asked Tony Khan to come into the ring, and he was going to issue him an apology publicly in the ring. So basically, he attacked Tony Khan in the ring, and the fans were applauding. And then the Young Bucks came in, pretending like they were appalled by his actions, and they jumped Tony Khan. And now it looks like, Tony Khan might, even though those guys were heels, this, what's his name? When he got hit by Jack Perry, he looked like he got shot. Like he was like out. He was out cold, And then on the NFL draft, since, him and his father owned the Jacksonville Jaguars, he was wearing a neck brace, when they drafted their player in the NFL draft this weekend. But, some people think maybe this might lead to Tony Khan turning heel. Because the fans were applauding instead of the fans being saddened by Tony Khan being attacked by the Elite, they were cheering. So maybe that might lead to a heel turn. I don't know. But the whole thing started. The whole controversy started when AEW aired the footage of CM Punk. The CM Punk Jack Perry fight that happened literally 8 months ago, and they aired the fight, the footage of the fight, I think, what was it, a week or two ago, and that was their way of bringing back Jack Perry into the company. To me, it didn't make sense for them to air the footage. like it, either they should have aired it right after they fired Punk, or just not air it at all. But yeah, it just didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, that was very strange for them to do. Very strange and very unprofessional, but
mm-hmm.
not surprising. You know, right now WWE's kicking their butts, so they have to do anything in any way to try to get viewers and get the ratings up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And then in WWE, was it Monday when Rhea, it was Monday.
That was a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it, when she relinquished the title?
Wasn't it? You might have been right. And then today was the day when they, Monday is when they crowned a new women's champion,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the Battle Royale, which ended up being Becky Lynch. So congratulations to her. She becomes She becomes a 7-time world champion. What's your thoughts on that? Do you think they should have picked somebody else, or do you think it was good that they put the title on her?
I think it should have went to someone else. I know a lot of people wanted
Morgan.
Liv Morgan to win it. I thought that could have been the better choice. I thought Liv Morgan whether she should have won it or not is debatable. But I think there's a case to be made that she should have won it because she has her own revenge tour going
mm-hmm.
where she needs to get back at some people. But I think it would make more sense if either she or Nia Jax won it, more so than Becky Lynch, who's already held the title, you know, and people are calling her the Hulk Hogan, the Hulk Hogan of the female division, because right now she's been, looks like she's not giving some of the younger girls a shot. Mm-hmm. She wants to take all the spotlight to herself right now.
So they're comparing this moment to WrestleMania 9?
Kind of.
I feel they should have went to somebody else also. Like, I was thinking Liv Morgan as well. To me, it would have made sense to give it to her. But
yeah, this is supposed to be like the new era, you know? So I think you should be starting fresh right now, you know?
Yeah.
So I think they should have went a different route, but hey, if they think that's good for business, then
mm-hmm.
Put the title on her. It looks like she's gonna be battling. Looks like her next opponent might be maybe Liv Morgan. Probably.
Yeah, I would assume so.
Yeah.
So
maybe Liv Morgan still has a chance to win the title.
Do you think Liv is gonna turn heel?
I think so. It's been looking like it. Yeah.
Maybe so, because she is on a revenge tour, even though she's supposed to be a baby face, but maybe this revenge tour might turn her heel.
I think that's very possible.
Trying to think what else happened. What else happened? The draft. I'm trying to think what memorable thing happened in the draft. What memorable thing happened? Roman Reigns took himself off the draft. I'm trying to think what else. I think SmackDown drafted the rest of the Bloodline. After Paul Heyman spoke behind the scenes, Carmella Hayes, he got drafted to SmackDown. He fought Cody Rhodes in the main event, fought a good match, but, you know, he ended up losing to Cody Rhodes. I forgot to mention this in AEW Dynamite. Swerve Strickland, he defeated Kyle Fletcher from the Callis family. Yeah, but the weird thing about it is that they didn't give Strickland a chance to like speak to the audience. You know, cut a promo after his post celebration in the ring. So hopefully he'll do that next week. I mean, I don't know this. But back to the draft. They had some surprise people present the draft. They had the Dudley Boys. They had JBL and Teddy Long, Torrey Wilson and Candice Michelle. I can't even. No, it was Michelle McCool. Who else was there that was presenting? I can't even remember. But yeah, in any case, the draft is going to continue on Raw, and May 6th is when the draft is, the rosters are set. So yeah, that's I'm trying to think what major move happened. I'm trying to remember. Baron Corbin got drafted to SmackDown out of NXT. I'm trying to think of a major move shift, like someone moving. Because most of the picks were basically people retaining their wrestlers from their respective shows. But I mean, yeah, we'll see what happened with the draft. Shifting gears finally with the back to NHL. The Islanders.
Oh, by the way, you forgot to mention Ricochet becomes the first inaugural speed champion of WWE.
Oh, congratulations to Ricochet, man. He, things are going well for him right now. So
yeah, I don't know what that speed title is about. I don't know why WWE didn't just bring back the cruiserweight. I don't know why.
Or the 24/7.
Or the 24/7 even, yeah. But we'll see how this speed championship turns out.
Yeah, speed is basically a show that they put exclusively for like social media stuff where the matches are like, I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes. So he won a championship for that platform. So congrats to him. Hopefully it'll lead to bigger and better things for him. He's a very talented dude. But back to the NHL. Props to the Islanders. They avoided elimination in Game 4. They won at home. To avoid the sweep at home. A 4-game sweep at home. So they beat the Carolina Hurricanes by the final score of 3-2. Matthew Barzal scored 2 goals. Jean-Gabriel Pagot scored also. And Simon Varlamov had 42 saves, including 18 in the overtimes. The Islanders win by the final score of 3-2 to avoid elimination in second overtime. So congrats to the Islanders. They avoided elimination. Now they're down 3-1. And game 5 will be Tuesday night in North Carolina. So congratulations to the Islanders. The Islanders are trying to win their first title, since the 80s. Props to them. Both New York teams are trying to snap their long, you know, their long pinship droughts. And, basically Islanders are trying to win their first title since the 82-83 season. And, of course, that was when the Islanders won four straight titles in a row. So Islanders are trying to win their first title since the 82-83 season. And they got a long hill to climb trying to beat the Hurricanes. So we'll keep you guys posted on what's going on in the playoffs for the NBA and the NHL, baseball, and everything else that's going on in the world of sports and entertainment. Anything?
Go Knicks. Go Rangers.
Yeah, go Knicks, go Rangers. Let's keep this MSG vibe going, man. And hopefully the Knicks can get their redemption down in the city of no brotherly love, you know, Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. So let's see. Hopefully the Knicks can redeem themselves, and hopefully Mitchell Robinson can dig down deep and find a way to play tomorrow, or should I say this afternoon, because the Knicks are really going to need him, man.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see what happens with that, man. So anything else you'd like to say other than go Knicks, or you? That's basically it.
Check out my show, iMac. Check your local listings for that. And, come back here. Check out Sports Urban Legend every Saturday at 11, only on Block Talk Radio.
All right, you heard the guy. Check out iMac every Saturday at 10. Check your local listings for that. And come back every Saturday at 11 and check out this show, Sports Urban Legend, with me, William Ramo, and, of course, Macaulay Matthew. And, ladies and gentlemen, I hope to see you next week. So, peace. Hopefully we'll be back with the Knicks, winning the series. But, you know, we'll see what happens, man. This series is far from over. So, with that, I'm William Amor. He's Macaulay Matthew, and I'll see you guys next week.